We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, today on Exploring the Word, we are in Hebrews chapter 10, moving right along through this wonderful New Testament book. And like we've done a time or two, I'm going to read a verse from kind of the middle of the chapter, then we'll come back and we'll sort of set it up. But about Jesus and his perfect sacrifice to save us, verse 19 of Hebrews 10 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Verse 22, I'll read, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Hebrews says that we can come boldly to the throne of God, and that's true thanks to Jesus. Well, welcome to the program, Exploring the Word. Bert Harper, Alex McFarland, we invite you to get a copy of God's Word and turn to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll continue through this. And Bert, this is deep. This is, the Bible talks about the milk of the Word. Well, this is meat and protein, isn't it, when it comes really, to biblical truth?
Amen. It really is. Let me, I can simplify things. I try to anyway, because I think that way. But let me go over the last three chapters coming up to chapter 10. And it really sets it up. It really does. And if you'll write these down, those of you who are listening, when you're studying Hebrews, it will help you. Chapter 7 is about a better high priest, not after the Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. Chapter 6 and 7 talk about that. So we have a better high priest. Chapter 8, you have a better covenant. You compare the old covenant and the new covenant, or the testament, as it says in the King James Version. The new covenant is so much better. And then yesterday in chapter 9, we found out Jesus was a better sacrifice. A better sanctuary. Heaven's a better sanctuary. Today, I got ahead of myself. In chapter 10, he is the best, the better sacrifice. And it sets it up. Let me read this real quickly, Alex, and then I'll throw it back to you. Listen, chapter 10, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things that can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect." Now listen, there's a word that's occurred, two or three words that occurs over and over again in the book of Hebrews is better. We've talked about that. But also another one, Alex, is once. Once. Now here we talk about the old covenant, the old sanctuary, the old sacrifice, continually, year after year. But after this better sacrifice, you find the word once and forever. Hallelujah. A better sacrifice as well, isn't it?
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And, verse 2 says, well, regarding the previous things, the animal sacrifices and the ordinances of the law that really pictured the Messiah that was to come, Jesus Christ, it says it was a shadow of the good things, and the sacrifices were done year by year. And verse 2 says, "For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sin." In other words, if this was the permanent thing, we'd still be doing it. But we're not doing sacrifices, and we don't need to, because Jesus did the sacrifice. And verse 3 uses this word again, kind of a past tense, remembrance, looking back. Now, the thing is, we don't have to look back in the sense of, oh my goodness, we've got to have this human priest go advocate for us again and again. We look back at the victory on Calvary's cross, the empty tomb our Savior is alive, and not just someone who represented God, but someone who claimed to be God. And I know we've said it a dozen different ways, Bert, but this is just the beauty of the true gospel. And by the way, I was looking through a church history book, and by the way, you know, in the early church, you get the sense that they were as excited as we are, or at least we should be. There were some early church leaders like Clement of Rome and Ignatius and a guy named Irenaeus. And Bert, they wrote a lot of belief statements like one we call the Apostles' Creed, and there was the Nicene Creed. And there was a man named Clemens, and he wrote The Father's Love Begotten about Jesus. And there was the Creed of Athanasius. What they were saying was the incarnate Lord fulfilled the law, paid our debt, rose from the dead. By faith, we put our trust in him, and we are made right in the sight of God. One early church writer, 2,000 years ago almost, he said, the Father planned, the Son performed, the Spirit perfects.
Amen.
And, you know, this is what Hebrews is saying. As Colossians says, you are complete in Christ. In Christ, the debt was paid, the law is fulfilled. And that's great assurance, isn't it?
It really is. And we're praying that you who are listening have that assurance that you have trusted Christ and Christ alone. And Alex and I, that's what we do on Exploring the Word. We feel like God's called us to make sure everybody examines themselves to make sure that they're followers of Christ. And so you do that today. Now, verse 4, now it sets it up, and listen, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Now, you've got to really pay attention to take away sin. And here it is, it's not possible for that to happen. So the writer of Hebrews is stating that, therefore, you got that? Therefore, because of that, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering for you do not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices of sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have become, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Jesus would pray, not my will, but your will be done. And here, Alex, it sets it up. The sacrifices would not accomplish that because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. The word atonement really grasped the idea of the Old Testament. It was a covering, not a cleansing. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's the reason we can sing the old hymn, there is power in the blood. Alex, only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ could be sufficient to take away sin and cleanse us. And this is what the writer says, what the old could not do, the new does. And that is the new sacrifice, a better sacrifice. And it was Christ Jesus himself, wasn't it?
Well, it was. It was. And, you know, songs have been written like in verse 7 of Hebrews 10, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. That really reminds me of like John 5:39, when Jesus said, search the scriptures, for they testify of me. And you know, it's been said that the incarnation is tied to eschatology. Eschatology is the return of Christ, last things, end times. The incarnation, the atonement, the resurrection, the ascension, the church age. Look at 12 and 13. It says, well, I'm going to read 11 also. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. They could cover it temporarily, but not wash it away. But verse 12, this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. End of verse 12. Verse 13, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Bert, between 12 and 13, there's just a tiny little bit of blank space on the paper. But really, between 12 and 13 is the 2,000-year church age, isn't there?
It really is. I noticed that as well. But one more thing that you got to contrast. Look at verse 11. Every priest stands, but look at verse 12. This man sat down.
Amen.
What a now listen, if you're looking at teaching about what Jesus did, if you're looking for an outline, that is it. The Old Testament, they stood. There was no chair. But Jesus seated, and this is the third time that it's talked about, Alex, here in the book of Hebrews. It started off with it in Hebrews 1. It repeated it, and now here in chapter 10, he sat down. And notice what it says in verse 12. The one sacrifice, once and one, we talked about that being a repeated word, sacrifice sins, and here's another word, forever. What a contrast to that doing day by day and year by year. Jesus Christ sat down. It showed that he had completed the job. It shows, and that this is, I'm repeating myself, he began or commenced a job, our intercessor, our mediator that we talked about yesterday. And finally, a coming, as you referred to in verse 13. He sat because he is waiting to return. There's so much here in these verses. Alex, you say it a lot. We said we could spend a lot of time here. We could here, couldn't we?
Well, exactly. And let me say this. Look at verse 14. All right, Christ is coming. It says in verse 13, his enemies will be made his footstool, and that's really a reference to Psalm 110. All right, we know when Christ returns and it's Eden restored, heaven on earth, there will be the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years and then eternity proper, and all believers will be with the Lord. And maybe you've thought in the sense of you're going to get a glorified body at some future point, and you'll the Bible says that we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Now, we don't ever become God or gods. That's kind of New Agey. We don't become deity. We are redeemed humanity, and we'll get a glorified body. But the creation does not ever become the creator. We do not turn into angels. We do not become God. And we do not become little gods. However, we are the redeemed of the Lord. But let me just say there's a present tense adjective here. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Present tense verb, present tense adjective. We are sanctified. Now, here's the thing. You say, well, I don't know that I feel sanctified, and I don't look glorified. I look, but we are. That's why it's like when I was a kid, Bert, and we put on our church clothes, my mom would say, now don't you go out in the backyard. You know, you're ready. We're going to church. Don't get dirty. Because, you know, I wasn't at church yet, but I was already ready to go to Sunday school, and I'd better not get my Sunday clothes dirty. Here's the thing. We need to live in step with our true identity. I've said it many times. Augustine, after he got saved, one time he was walking past a brothel, and one of the prostitutes that he apparently had known in his previous lifestyle said, Augustine, it is I. And he said, yes, but it is no longer I. Because we are the redeemed of Christ.
Amen.
We are the bride of Christ. We, believe it or not, we already are sanctified and made in Christ's image. Now, again, we're redeemed humans. We're not deity. But I guess here's my point, Bert. It's so out of place when a Christian falls into sin, because that's just not who we are anymore.
It's not our nature, and we need to be who we are in Christ. One last thing, verse 14, before we come back in 19, for by one offering, by that one offering, we have the best life as well, and it is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We'll be back with more right after the break.
A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is the Lost in Translation Ministry Minute. Here now is your host, Dr. Baruch Korman.
For I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds that, passes over the scribes and the Pharisees, he says, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, what does he mean by that? A very important statement. Unless our righteousness surpasses the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Once more, what's he telling us? If your righteousness is not based upon human deeds, but the work, the sufficiency of Messiah.
Learn more about the teaching ministry of Dr. Baruch Korman at loveisrael.org. You'll find videos on almost any biblical topic on his YouTube page and on the My Bible Study app. That's loveisrael.org.
Some people think they have this God thing all figured out. But Dr. Tony Evans says an infinite God can't be stuffed into a finite human brain. He'll offer an example today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
If I were to bring you and your child a four-piece puzzle, it would be pretty easy to put it together. A 50-piece puzzle, take you a little longer, but you'd manage that okay. If I brought you a 500-piece puzzle, well, now that's going to be a little bit more complicated because they're a lot more pieces. If I brought you a 5,000-piece puzzle, you'd just walk away. Because it's just got, like, too many pieces. But what if I brought you a 50,000-piece puzzle? Better yet, what if I brought you a 500,000-piece puzzle? Better yet, what if I brought you a 5,000,000-piece puzzle? Or a 5,000,000,000-piece puzzle? You would say, it's too much. I can't figure all of this out. Trying to figure God out, it's like a 5,000,000,000-piece puzzle. And since his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways, it's going to take you forever to understand God. One of the reasons you're going to live forever is going to take you that long to make sense of this uncreated creator sustainer of all things.
That forever life Tony mentioned begins through a relational connection with God through Christ. Find out what that means. Visit TonyEvans.org and click on the word Jesus in the top menu. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. Psalm 14, verse 2.
American Family Radio.
If I knew then what I know now, I wouldn't have doubted you. I wish I could tell.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. I know I'm interrupting that song a little earlier, but because we're trying to get through chapter 10, we're going to go ahead and jump right in. Verse 16 is repeated again, is already quoted before, Jeremiah 31, 33, and 34, about the laws written in their heart. And he go on and talk about the remission of sin and the offering of Christ. Brings us to verse 19. Based on what has been said in verses 1 through 18. He starts a new thought now. It's kind of completed and continues it. And he says, therefore, brethren, notice the brethren, he's talking to believers, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Christ. We're talking about the Holy of Holies. You can enter there now by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Now, what that does, therefore, in verses 22 that Alex has just read earlier, 23 and 24, it's going to call us to some action. So listen to the action because of what Christ has done for you and me in saving us. Therefore, in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Okay, verse 23. Another, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up the love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Alex, when I see that, I could not help but, man, what a statement. He says, this is what we need to do. We need to have a true heart. We need to hold fast to the confession of our hope, because he's talking to the Jewish people who are thinking about, let's go back to Judaism. And he said, no, draw even closer to God. He said, hold fast. Don't you walk away. And then let us consider one another. You want to stay in there because it's not by yourself. No man's an island. And so, Alex, when I look at verses 19, really, through 25, what a teaching this is. This is practical. Now, we think of Hebrews as what? Very doctrinal, and it is. But when you read verses 22 through 25, it's practical, brother.
Well, amen. It really is practical. And, you know, there's a lot of exhortation about who we are in Christ and continuing, you know, continuity in Christ. And then, of course, Hebrews 10:25, which we've used many times to make an argument for the validity of going to church, which I think this is a good application of this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's like, you know, verse 13, the day of Christ's return. Now, 26 and following is one of several warnings in the book of Hebrews. I think about chapter 2, I think about chapter 6. Bert, let me just say this. As I read the New Testament, I believe in what is often called the eternal security of the believer. Now, eternal security versus those that believe you could possibly lose your salvation. This is not a fundamental on the level of the deity of Christ or the blood atonement. I've known very godly Bible-believing people that affirmed eternal security. I've known very good Bible-believing Christ-loving people that felt like you could lose your salvation. But I believe that we are secure in Christ. However, look at verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking of judgment. Bert, do you remember like Proverbs 28:1 that says the wicked man flees that even when no one pursues? And there's a verse in the Old Testament about someone, you know, jumping and being startled just at the sound of a leaf. When people are running from God and people are in sin and they know they're in sin, there's no peace in their soul, is it? Like 27 says, a fearful looking for judgment. And then it goes on, it talks about in verse 29, a sorer punishment for the ones who have trodden underfoot the Son of God. In other words, not taken what Jesus did with reverence. Bert, Spurgeon said this, if you think little of sin, you'll think little of the Christ who gave his life to save us from sin. That's true, isn't it?
It really is, Alex. And let me just say this in verse 26. The way that is constructed in the Greek language, it reads similar to that. But for if we go on sinning willfully. In other words, if there has not been a change in your life, in your thought pattern, in the direction you're going, you know, there's those in the book of Acts, they wanted to buy what Paul and Barnabas and Silas was sharing. You know, they said, man, we'd like to purchase that. And it's not available that way. If you come to Christ, you come to him by grace through faith. That's it. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, here people say, well, I understand that you don't just fall out, but can you willfully walk away from what you did believe? Now, Alex, let me just say this. I agree with you on the security of the believer. But if there's anything in the Bible that it teaches that you can be saved and then lost, it is a willful act on your part. And I have trouble with that. Because of the scriptures that we can find in Romans 8, the scriptures we find out in John 10, there's so many there. But here, listen, if there hasn't been a change in your life, now again, it may take a little bit, but your directions begin to change. As we have said on this program, Alex, so many times, yes, salvation, your redemption, regeneration happens at the time in your life. Just like the first birth, the new birth happens. You're born into Christ. But growing, just like a child grows, it's step by step. It's day by day. Walking with Christ and becoming more like him, as it says in Romans 8:29, being conformable to him, be conformed to the image of Christ. Alex, let me just say this. That's a lifetime pilgrimage, isn't it?
It really is. You know, I heard a joke once. They said, you know, How do you get better at golf? Start earlier in life. and I don't even know because I don't play golf. But that is one of those things that takes a life of commitment, honestly. And it's a beautiful thing to give your life to not only the new birth, which is an event, but then sanctification and Christian growth, which is a lifelong adventure. And Bert, you know, I've been around many saints of God. I'm sure you have as well. People that have walked with the Lord for decades, and they've walked through the hard valleys, and they've celebrated the joyful mountaintops. And even when age or maybe even sickness have taken their toll, I want to tell you, when you're around an absolute saint of God, there is something just beautiful about it, and really it's hard to describe. I've been around some men and women that were just, I'm not talking famous, I'm just talking incredibly godly, dedicated to the Savior for nine-tenths of their life, and it's very humbling. And if you're ever around somebody that has followed after Jesus for all their life, it will make an impact on you, really, and it will inspire you. I don't have any other way to say it. A holy person. I have been around some truly holy saints of God.
Amen.
And it will inspire you, won't it?
It will. I just want to tell you, I've pastored many, many years, still interim pastoring, still ministering, still visiting some people sometimes. I've been there so many times, Alex, at the death of individuals, the death of the saint that has walked with God. You talking about peace, you can sing that song, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. You can feel his mighty presence and his grace. You really can. And I've been there with some people that probably they were not saved. They, far as I know, they were lost. And you can feel the darkness, the dread.
Oh, yeah.
And listen, it is worth coming to Christ. Those of you who are listening today, listen, come unto Jesus Christ. He says, come unto me, and I'll in no way cast you out. Come to me, and he'll give you peace, and he'll make things right. So, Alex, that's what this is all about. Jesus Christ is the better sacrifice. What the bulls, the goats, the sheep could not do, Jesus Christ has done. He can not only just the covering of sin, he cleanses us, the Bible says, from all sin. That's what you have in Christ Jesus, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, we talk a lot about the forgiveness of Jesus and God's grace, and we don't really deserve it, which is true. We come to Christ to be saved, and we receive eternal life because we're unworthy. But let me talk about, in verse 29, somebody that is worthy, but it's not what you think. Verse of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. By the way, the Holy Spirit that's drawing you to Christ, the Spirit of grace, that's capital S. That's the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 29, worthy. Worthy of what? Judgment. Condemnation. I remember many years ago I was watching Charles Stanley on TV, and he was talking about Bert when he was a young pastor, and he's in heaven now. He passed away a little over a year ago, Charles Stanley. But he said that the first time he ever did a service for somebody that they just, as far as everybody knew, was unsaved. And he said he walked past the casket, and he said it just, he didn't want to go near it. He said you could feel it was just like this black hole of emptiness. Yeah. It was just something dark. And he said it was the hardest funeral. And he said, you know, over the course of his ministry, you know, praise God, the majority of the funerals he ever did were for believers. But let me say this. Go to verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hey, Jesus loves you. God is full of grace. The Bible says if we come to Christ, he will abundantly pardon. And the love and the mercy and the grace of God is a wonderful thing to talk about long and enthusiastically. But we would be remiss if we did not also point out that the Bible is equally clear on the judgment and the wrath of God for those that reject Jesus. Like 29 says, those that, you know, just count what Jesus did as nothing. And there are people that they just are very dismissive of Jesus, but don't be, because there is no other way. In Christ, there is complete forgiveness, but there is no plan B. And like 31 says, it is a fearful thing. And Bert, I know people have asked us, you know, will this or that send you to hell? I'll tell you what. There's a lot of people that are lost because of a thing called procrastination.
Yeah.
Maybe you think, you know, I'll deal with that. One of these days, I'll deal with the God issue. I'll get around to it. Look, we don't have tomorrow, but we've got right now. And so call on the name of the Lord while you have opportunity. Verses really 32 to the end of the chapter talks about the fact that maybe, you know, call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a fight of afflictions. Okay, illuminated means you were enlightened. You understood. You came to Christ. Verse 33, Bert, as a young believer in college, I knew what this meant. Partly while you were made a gazing stock. That's really the word, a spectacle. Bert, when I came to the Lord and my life changed, I had friends that made fun of me. You know, I didn't run around with the same crowd I used to run around with. That's okay. Don't you worry about it. Listen, when you're in the family of God, you don't need to worry about belonging to any other clique or group, do you?
You really don't. You're trying to please an audience of one, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. You want him to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what you want to hear. And you read the rest of that again. He is imploring them to stay with Christ. Now, I want to review real quickly but the last four chapters, because in chapter 7, he is telling these Jews, listen, Judaism compared to Christ, it's a better high priest in Christ. In Hebrews 8, it's a better covenant than the old covenant. The new covenant is renewed. And then Hebrews 9, you have a better sanctuary, not on the earth, but a sanctuary in heaven. But I think he waited till chapter 10 in Hebrews to tell us the climax of the best, Alex, and that is a Amen. Better sacrifice, because you could have the perfect high priest, no such thing, a better covenant, a better sanctuary, but if you did not have the best sacrifice, all of those other betters would not be sufficient. It's mm-hmm. In Christ alone, isn't it?
Well, it really is, and I know we've got a break coming up, but Bert, could it be that in verse 34, which I compare, I also look at 2 Timothy 1:16, could there be a clue that maybe this really, really was written by the Apostle Paul?
I thought so. In my chains, I thought the same thing when I was reading that, Alex. Good
thought. You had compassion on me in my chains or in my bonds.
Sounds which, just like the Apostle Paul, doesn't it?
It does. Hey, listen to this number, folks. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Call us with your Bible question after this brief break. Exploring the Word returns. We'd love to hear from you with your Bible questions.
Join us for the second annual AFA at the Ark.
Myself and Tony Bentagliano, his family and my family, and several of the other staff members of AFA.
Tickets include transportation from the hotel to the museums, both tours, and special presentations by Answers in Genesis speakers. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at a discounted price with the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. To register, go to afa.net/events and join us for AFA at the Ark.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he's been fully trained, will be like his teacher. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Several Columbia University administrators were caught mocking a panel on anti-Semitism in a group text message chat. The Washington Free Beacon obtained photographs of the text messages showing the administrators responded with mockery and vitriol, dismissing claims of anti-Semitism and suggesting the Jewish figures on campus were exploiting the moment for fundraising potential. It's not surprising that Columbia University is one of the schools overwhelmed by anti-Israel demonstrations and bigotry. It seems, at a minimum, some of their leaders share similar sentiments. No wonder they weren't in a hurry to quell the protests.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song.
He is our life, our strength, our song in Christ alone. Doesn't Brent Austin pick good music for our rejoins, Bert? Don't you think Brent?
I agree with you. Listen, I don't want him to get too proud of what he does, but I'm just going to whisper it real quick so he doesn't hear me. He does a great job.
You were going to say big head, weren't you?
Let me tell you what else Brent does well. He looks after the Facebook and the social media presence. Now, here's the thing, folks. We've been trying to get our way to 10,000 Facebook followers, and we're almost to 9,000. In fact, 62 more people to like us on Facebook, and we'll be at 9,000. And just, you know, several months ago, we didn't even have a Facebook thing, and Brent got that going. I would love, before the summer is over, maybe by the end of the month of August, maybe we'll be at 10,000. But I would bet, Bert, 62, I bet today or tomorrow we could hit 9,000. So would you go just on Facebook, Exploring the Word, like us. We'd appreciate that. The number for phone calls today, though, is 888-589-8840. Are you ready to go to questions, Bert?
Ready. Where do we go to first?
We shall begin in Ohio. James in Ohio, thank you for holding, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello?
Hello, James?
Yes, I'm sorry. There was a bunch of music just playing there.
Oh,
anyway,
that's
how
good.
Are y'all doing today?
Good to hear from you. Doing great.
Yes, sir. Hey, I've got a comment. I was telling him about the Trinity. I know a lot of people call in and ask about the Trinity and stuff. Now, Alex, you're a guitar player, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, you know when you play a guitar, if you play the chord G, C, D, E, you have to have three different strings to make one chord.
Yes.
And I was telling somebody was asking me the other day about it. I said, well, look at it this way. I said, you couldn't play G if you didn't have three fingers. I said, you have to have three to make the one, and it's just that simple. I said, I don't understand how it works, but I just go with it because I know it's all going to sound good at the end.
Do you know, amen. Do you know Psalm 19, James, this is a great point. Psalm 19 says the heavens and earth bear witness to the glory of God. And music, I think, does. And you're right. You know, time is past, present, future. And space is length, width, height. There's a certain triunity even to reality. We've got a friend at Fox News, Lauren Green, and she's a devout Christian. She wrote a book, kind of her biography, called Lighthouse Faith. And she was a concert pianist, and she played with symphony orchestras. More than any other book I've seen, in Lauren Green's book, Lighthouse Faith, she talks about music being an argument for the Trinity, Bert. And just like James was saying, like C-E-G, you know, G-B-D, music has what are called triads. And far better than I could explain it, but that Lauren Green book, some of you that are musicians and you know music theory, she really uses, it's a fairly technical chapter, but Lauren Green writes about music theory as an argument for the triune nature of God. It's pretty beautiful.
Amen. I can't play, but I appreciate that. Again, it helps you. I don't think anything on earth will completely help us to understand all the Trinity, but everything like that adds to that, Alex. Mm-hmm. And thank you, James. I appreciate it. Hey, by the way, James, keep playing, brother.
Right on. Amen. Lee in Texas. Lee, thank you for holding and welcome to our program.
Thank you. I'm like Bert. I can't play either, but I understand the what he was talking about. My question is about something in Romans 11, verse okay. 5. It says, even so, then at this present time, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. He's talking about that Israel will be saved. But then you go on to 11:26, and it says, and so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. I don't understand. I've always, a friend of mine, he's in his 80s, he's a Calvinist. He's always told me that only a remnant will be saved. But today I was reading, and it kind of, first I saw the remnant, and then I saw that it says all Israel will be saved. I'm kind of confused there.
Thank you, Lee. Alex, let's talk about Israel. Sometimes you're talking about the nation itself, and sometimes it is referring to the faith of Abraham being Israel. You know, does that help us understand any of this?
Yeah, the nation of Israel will be preserved. Now, we know not everybody, not every human that ever lives is going to heaven. You know, salvation is not automatic. There are going to be people that reject and people that accept. It's funny, yesterday I was about to bring in Zechariah 13, where it talks about, it's really at the Battle of Armageddon that Christ appears and the people mourn as in the death of an only son. And they will say, and this is just amazing, when Christ appears at the end of the tribulation, what are these wounds in your hands and feet? And he will say, the wounds I suffered at the hands of my friends. And Bert, that's amazing because Zechariah was written 500 years before the birth of Christ. So let's take this in a couple of senses. The nation of Israel will be preserved. But it doesn't mean that every single Jewish human is going to get born again. I do think there's going to be a moment when, on a very large scale, Israel acknowledges Jesus as their Messiah. And we could say that there's going to be a mass of Jews at that moment that get born again. But whatever Romans 11:26 does mean, let me say what it doesn't mean. I don't think it could be used as an argument for universalism in terms of Jewish people.
I agree fully. You've got to come to Christ. There's no, as you said, no plan B, no alternate route. It's only through Christ. And there's been those that have rejected him, those that are rejecting him even today. But as a whole, the nation of Israel itself, there, you know, as you say, Alex, one of the most amazing miracles in our recent history is 1948. Amen. The nation of Israel becoming a nation again after how many years of dispersion? 1900 plus years.
Yes.
Yeah. And he come and they reunite, only God. And so I hope that helps, Lee. I understand there are some passages that are difficult to understand. Remember the criteria for difficult passages. Try to look at those that are easier to understand and bring them to the position of those that are hard to understand. Like the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. So that is the only way a Jew or a Gentile gets to Christ is through his shed blood and the resurrection and our faith in him. Alex, go ahead.
We're going to go, still going to be in Texas. Boots in Texas. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you very much. I've called in a time or two before, but what I wanted to do is kind of make a comment about once saved, always saved. I go to Stonebriar Community Church, which is Chuck Swindoll's church, and been there a long time, and I'm a real old guy, been saved a long, long time. And we had a program a few years ago called the Biblical Studies Program, and in there we had professors that came out from DTS to talk to us, and one of the one was Dr. Wallace, who taught Romans, and in there we discussed at length for what we call two semesters, was the Trinity. You've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit is the one that actually has to do the saving. You and I and anybody can bring a person up to that, but it's actually the Holy Spirit that does the saving. And my logic on that, if that's true, and I do believe that, then a person that is saved, and because by definition, no part of God can do anything imperfect. So if that person was really saved, and there can be conjecture about that, I totally agree. But if that person was really saved, how can that person lose it? Because that means that something God did was imperfect. What do you
Hey, Boots, thank you. Yeah, every time Boots from Texas calls, that sticks in my mind.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Dallas, by the way, DTS, for those that are listening, stands for Dallas Theological Seminary. And Chuck Swindoll, listen, let me just tell you, Alex, and then I'll let you comment on what he said. He is one of my favorite authors. Now, I love to hear him preach, but boy, if you can get a hold of any of Chuck Swindoll's books, buy them, read them, and they'll bless you. Alex, go ahead.
Well, you know, I think about 1 John 2:19, speaking of those that followed the spirit of the age. It says they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, and the word there is beloved, the believers, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Boots is right. Salvation is perfect. God's preserving power is perfect. If a person were to once affirm with his words Christ and then later repudiate, I don't think they were ever truly born again in the first place, Bert. Really.
That's what I believe with all my heart. That's what I believe. And everybody thought Judas Iscariot was saved except Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, not a single one of them said, I know it. It's Judas. I knew that guy wasn't real. No, he had everybody fooled. But in reality, he was lost and bound for hell and would go there. Alex, listen, knowing Jesus Christ, he is in us, and praise God. Make sure you're saved today. Those of you who are listening, trust Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Go ahead, Alex.
Jeremy in Oklahoma. Jeremy, thanks for holding, and welcome to the program.
Thank you, gentlemen. Pleasure to be here. My question for you is, I was born, baptized, and raised in a Lutheran faith, fell away from the church after high school, came back at about 10 years later. I never lost my relationship with God and always kept that relationship. Coming back, I never really felt like I had that aha moment where I'm like, yeah, I truly believe in God, but I believe in God, truly believe in God and in the Lord Jesus and in the Holy Spirit. But I don't know that I've ever had that aha moment where I've heard people that were not born and raised in the faith, as I was blessed to be, say, hey, I've had that aha moment and I truly believe in Jesus and it was a beautiful thing. And here's the date and the time. And I feel like I'm missing out on something, having been born and raised in it. It's something that I feel like I can't help but feel like I'm missing out.
Okay.
Am I missing out?
Jeremy, thank you for your great call. Alex, I'm turning this over to you, but I want to set you up. I want you to share your testimony. I believe you were raised in the church. You've already talked about being taken to Sunday school and church, but you had all this religious background, knew about Jesus, but something happened in your life. What happened?
You're talking about for me and my life?
Yes, about your salvation.
Jeremy, on the one hand, let me say this. I don't want to, if you're wanting to make sure of your salvation, then by all means, we can pray together, and I don't want, you know, to miss this moment. But at the same time, let me say that there's a lot of people. I think about the great radio preacher J. Vernon McGee, who was on for years and an incredible, not only Bible teacher, but really evangelist. And J. Vernon McGee said he didn't really remember when he accepted Christ. Now, for me, I grew up in church, always knew about Jesus, had this reverence and really love for God. But it was about when I was 21 in college that I really realized that I needed to make a commitment to Christ. And I knew in my heart, not only my actions, but my language, I really wasn't living for the Lord. And so I was 21, I started going to a Bible study, and I said, I need to make sure that I'm a born-again believer. And I did that. Bert, we used to sing this song, you know, It Was on a Monday. Do you remember that?
I did. I love that.
But there's one verse, It Was on a Someday.
Yeah.
So, Jeremy, let me ask you this. If you were to die and God said, why should I let you into heaven, what would you say?
I would tell him because I believe that he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for me and to establish a relationship between him and I.
Amen. That's good. That's wonderful. Let's do this. And there might just be a lot of people listening. And just look, the minute, because 1 John 5:1 says, these things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. And if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you're born of God. But just so you're not going to wonder, and you'll know, and everybody that prays along, they'll know as well, July 10th, 2024, no ambiguity, no wondering. Why don't you pray this prayer and just make sure? You want to do that, Jeremy? You want to pray and make for sure that you're a born-again believer? Pray with me. Repeat these words if this is the sincerity of your heart. Say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for making me aware of Jesus.
Thank you for making me aware of Jesus.
I believe in you, Lord Jesus.
I believe in you, Lord Jesus.
I know you died for me.
I know you died for me.
Please wash my sin away.
Please wash my sin away.
Save me.
Save me.
And help me to follow you as long as I live.
And help me to follow you as long as I live.
Now, I want you to stay on the line, Jeremy. We want to send you some material to help you in your walk and witness. But, Bert, the Bible says if we turn to Christ, John 6:37, he will not reject us. He heard Jeremy's prayer and everybody else's too, didn't he?
He really did. And listen, if you are unsure and you prayed that prayer, mark this day down, just like Jeremy. He said, I believe I have, but today Jeremy can say, I know I have. I pray that you know Jesus Christ is Savior. Be praying for Jeremy and all of those that have trusted Christ today.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.